most bloggers are very open to being contacted and approached, and they like it. And some surveys have indicated that that's their preferred method of contact. Commenting on the blog is a great way to get in contact with them, but a direct email, you know, many bloggers do post their email address. I think if you were to email a blogger where you're referring to a post or series of posts they've done, they're very open and interested in receiving that input.
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and welcome to Marketing Voices. Today, my guest is Steve Brobeck, who's president of Parnassus Ventures, and he's also host of the blog Business Summit, which is occurring in Seattle on October 25th through 27th. It looks like a great conference, and one of the reasons I wanted to have Steve on Marketing Voices is because of the opportunity that it provides all the people that are listening to actually attend the conference in Seattle and really learn a lot about best practices of blogging, specifically corporate blogging. Here on the show, we've really been talking a lot about how corporate blogging is best done, and so Steve's going to be sharing those tips with us today. So welcome, Steve, to Marketing Voices.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's great to be here.
Great. Well, I'll just sort of start out by asking you specifically sort of the best tips for everyone to think about as it relates to engaging with bloggers. Can you give us a sense of what those would be?
One is, I think a key thing that businesses really need to start doing is to make sure that they are monitoring the blogosphere, listening to what bloggers are saying about them, about their products, maybe about their competitors. And there are a variety of tools and services like Technorati and Google Blog Search that can help people do that. But one key thing is to, when someone does say something about your product that you think is relevant or you think that needs a comment on, to go to that blog and make a comment. It's great to show that you're paying attention, that you're listening, that you're reading what people are writing, and that you're interacting. So commenting is a great thing to do. Monitoring and commenting are both sort of essential things. And then for those companies that are interested in doing outreach to bloggers, many of them make the mistake of treating bloggers as identically to how they treat press. And I think you need to take a little more individualized approach, and that is really gets down to, if you're going to approach a blogger, read what they're writing about and be prepared to talk about those things.
So could you actually correspond with a blogger via email, or what's sort of the best way to get to know a blogger from a relationship standpoint? You know, you comment on their blog, you talk to them on their blog and all of that, but what about actually trying to meet with them personally?
Well, I think most bloggers are very open to being contacted and approached, and they like it. And some surveys have indicated that that's their preferred method of contact. Commenting on the blog is a great way to get in contact with them, but a direct email, you know, many bloggers do post their email address. I think if you were to email a blogger where you're referring to a post or series of posts they've done, they're very open and interested in receiving that input. Where a lot of companies step into some dangerous territory is when they just do sort of blanket, undifferentiated email blasts to bloggers, and that's generally not very well received.
So so you really encourage the people at the conference, obviously, but then also you've got a consulting business where you actually work with corporations to obviously talk to these bloggers and ensure they go to have one-on-one meetings with them and really get to know them.
Yeah, I think that's key. Is those companies that have identified the blogosphere as a place that they need to be to have a presence. It's far better to have a strong relationship with a couple bloggers in your relevant field than it is to have, sort of this undifferentiated relationship with hundreds or more. Again, that's the difference between sort of the old days where you're, well, let's email 1,000 members of the press and let them know about our new product versus, you know, cultivating a few key players.
So what about asking the bloggers about listening to a podcast? Let's say you're, you know, Seagate Technology, and you want to ensure that a blogger that you know is interested potentially in this topic would know about this podcast. Is it kosher to say, hey, here's a podcast that you should know about, and direct them there?
Well, absolutely, yes. I think that's not a problem. What can be a problem is if it's a podcast that doesn't contain information that is going to be relevant and important to that blogger. If it's, for example, a podcast that's promotional in nature, it's a commercial, probably isn't going to be very well received. But an example would be, let's say that you've read a post where a blogger has commented on some new technology that they find intriguing, some new audio compression method. And you have a product that generates audio using that compression method. You might say, hey, I just read your post. I've done a podcast that describes how the algorithm works, why we've decided to incorporate it in our product. It's located here. That would be very, very different than sending, hey, we just did a podcast announcing our new product line. That's a key distinction. Is you really, what bloggers want is they want something interesting that they can post about, and they're not looking for brochures.
Right. Okay. So let's switch to actually creating your own podcast and videocast. I know you've done that a lot, and I know that's a topic that's actually going to be at the conference as well, that where it's going to be discussed. So what are sort of some key tips about video casts and how you look at video versus just podcasting?
Well, I think one of the lessons we've learned from, for example, Robert Scoble, who is a member of your team. Robert and I used to work together back in the dark ages before he went to Microsoft, and I think he really learned from his experience there that, again, it's about the content, and it's not so much about the production quality. The key thing is get interesting people on camera saying interesting new things, and get it up there quickly, and don't worry about a fancy studio or lighting or all of that other stuff, because although it's nice, it's not the priority in terms of video casting. And in fact, I guess some studies have indicated, I'm doing more data gathering on this front, is some studies seem to be indicating that the more formal a video is, the less trusted it is. So one overall theme that I'm getting out of what's happening is that informality can really be a plus.
You know, I have to say, my background's in TV news and journalism back in the sort of the old days, so to speak. And the one thing that I have problems with, though, to this point, is that it looks like some of the stuff I see on the net, it looks like stuff we did in college when we were just learning how to use a camera. I mean, the camera's jumping all around, and it really distracts you from the content because you can't watch and then be distracted because your eyes are popping all around, and you try to steady the camera with your own eyes, and so you get totally off like what they're really talking about. So, we have a lot of this kind of discussion here at PodTech about just that point. So my question is, where do you come out on that? Because I think that, informality is good, but it really reaches, I think, it's stretched a lot on the net today with a lot of the stuff that I see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I am to some degree an old school guy, and I do find it a little odd. I'm not particularly enamored by the whole Wayne's World approach to a lot of the videos that are out there, but I think a lot of people are willing to sort of put that aside if the content is great. And I think everyone agrees, distracting bad camera moves are best edited out if possible. So I think there's a sweet spot there in the middle where you don't need to rent a studio and get a lighting crew and a makeup crew, but on the other hand, you don't need to be having shaky camera angles and shaky camera moves and bad audio either. I think there's a sweet spot there in the middle.
So where do you come out on the whole corporation or many corporations actually doing this podcasting, video casting? Do you really say, hey, it's like press releases, you start to do it, you get better at it, and you should just go do it?
Well, that's a good question. I think on the one hand, it's the same thing with blogging. We give out conflicting goals to a lot of companies, both about blogging and podcasting. On the one hand, you say, look, just do it. But on the other hand, a lot of corporations, especially public ones, need to be very careful about what messaging they're sending out. They're held to some not only just internal restrictions, but governmental restrictions. So there's, again, a sort of a sweet spot. One is, yes, get started immediately, but do it on a very small scale. For example, both in the case of blogging and podcasting, do it internally first. That's a great way for you to test the waters, to create some properties, to get the ball rolling, get some feedback, and yet you're not out there in the public eye yet with it. It gives you a chance to fine-tune and perfect it. So, yes, that is it's sort of... We're giving two messages. One, do it now, but be careful and do your homework before you're putting it out there to the public.
Yeah, no, I would have to agree with that here. PodTech, that's advice we give as well. Well, I've been talking to Steve Brobeck, who's president of Parnassus Ventures, and he's host of the Blog Business Summit, which is happening on October 25th through 27th in Seattle. And Steve is also a writer. He's published a book called Publish and Prosper, Blogging for Your Business, that's out at this point on Amazon, I assume. And where else, Steve?
Oh, it's in all kinds of bookstores. It's published by Peachpit Press, so they've done a great job of getting it out there into the channel.
So people should know about it because it's actually a very, very good book. So, Steve, thank you so much for being on Marketing Voices, and good luck at your conference, in a couple of days.
Well, thanks much. Appreciate getting a chance to talk with you.
Great. And this has been Jennifer Jones. And so for all my listeners out there, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.